Welcome to the Church of Quell Creek podcast, a ministry of the Church of Quell Creek in Amarillo, Texas. Dive in with us as we open God's words and then stick around for a message from our pastor.
Good morning, church family. I don't know about you, but man, this last week, my heart just ached. You know, for all those around us that were affected by the fires, how could that not just grip our hearts and make us fall on our faces and pray for those folks? You know, I have some dear friends in Pampa and in the surrounding area, Canadian, and people that I serve the Lord with, me and Lynn, served the Lord with at First Baptist Church Pampa for those nearly 12 years, and to get word from them that they lost everything they ever had. They lost their over 400 head of cattle. They lost all of their livestock. They lost all of their pets. They lost their home. They lost everything that they have ever owned. And not just them, but there were several others that we know of that that lost, you know, just everything. And we, as well as you have heard of the loss of some lives there in the area that was affected by the fire, my heart was just heavy this last week. And as I was trying to prepare for today's message, you know, I thought, you know, you may lose everything. Your life may be turned upside down, but there is hope in Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, the livestock can be replaced. The grass will turn green again. They will restore their fences, their homes, and everything else. It may take time, but there is hope, and that hope is found in Jesus Christ. As Mark shared with you as he was praying, getting ready to pray, that we're going to start a new series today in the Gospel of John. And I am so excited about that series of messages, and I appreciate Kyle giving me the opportunity to be able to preach from John chapter 1. I want to say just a word about the importance of the Gospel of John. It's been said by Greek scholars that the Gospel of John is the profoundest book in all the world, and I believe that is true. Another Bible scholar said this about the Gospel of John, that it's simple enough for a child to wade in, yet deep enough for the scholar and the most seasoned saint to swim in. You know, oftentimes, as well as you, as I know, you've had people come up to you and they've asked you, you know, I'm a new Christian, or I have just started having this, what you guys call, or you Christians call, a quiet time. Tell me, where do I begin? Where do I start with this new relationship with Jesus Christ? You know, I always direct them to the Gospel of John. And I know there are many, many, many other places that we can refer to, but I've always directed people to the Gospel of John. You know, even for those folks who may not have attended church, or maybe they haven't attended church much at all, they ask the question, who is this Jesus that you Christians are talking about? And, you know, I know as well as you do, you've had people tell you, well, I think this Jesus that you are talking about is the big man upstairs. You know, if I told my grandson, Declan right here, well, Jesus is the big man upstairs, he may be running up through the balcony and all the way to the fellowship hall to see Jesus Christ. Some people think that Jesus is a great philosopher, and there are others who may be resentful in their lives will say, well, Jesus is that guy that gives us all of those rules and those regulations that he expects us to live by. Well, as you read through the Gospel of John, you will see that John answers two questions. One is, who is this Jesus that we're talking about, and why did he come to earth? Now, as Christians, I believe it's important that you and I have a handle on what John is saying in the Gospel of John. Because as you're out telling people about the love of Jesus Christ, you're going to have people ask you those questions. Well, who is Jesus and why did he come to this earth? John answers those two questions. In fact, John answers those two questions in the first 12 chapters of the Gospel of John. And here he presents Jesus as the divine Son of God. He emphasizes that Jesus is the Creator. You'll read that throughout the Scriptures. And he also says that he is the only begotten of the Father, and he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And anyone who does not believe in him, as you read in John chapter 3, verse 18, John says, if there's anyone who does not believe in Jesus Christ, he is condemned. You know, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about the person of John, because Jesus is the topic of discussion. He is going to be the topic that Kyle preaches about as well as I do today. Jesus is the topic, but I want to just say one thing about John's life. His life is a great example of the power of Jesus Christ to transform a person's life. You know, you might be here this morning and you might say, well, there is no hope. You know, Jesus Christ can change anyone. I have seen Jesus Christ change the lives of those who were just their spirits were just, you know, caught up in worshiping the devil and just they were mean people. I've seen God transform their lives, and he can transform your life as well. I've seen the Lord transform the lives of those little children as well. And if you're here this morning and that's all that you hear me say is that there is hope and that hope is found in Jesus Christ, there is hope for you today. And we're going to talk about who this Jesus is and how he can transform our lives. Jesus can change anyone. Jesus accepted John just as he was. You know, as you are aware of some of the titles that they've been given to John, him and his brother were often called the Sons of Thunder. Based on that, I think you probably have an idea of what their personality must have been like. They were the Sons of Thunder. But Jesus changed him into what he would become, and that is the beloved disciple. One Bible commentary says this about John. John was transformed into someone who was strong but gentle, straightforward but loving, courageous but humble. You know, there was no big event in the life of John that brought him to Jesus. You know, in your daily Bible reading yesterday, you read about Saul and how he was on the road and how the Lord changed his life. Well, in John's life, there was no big event. John was just a fisherman and a hard-working man. But the Lord changed his life, and it came as a result of John being with Jesus, being loved by Jesus, being accepted by Jesus, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me just tell you, the more time you spend in prayer and Bible study and personal and corporate worship, you will become more like Jesus. If you just say, you know, Dale, I just don't feel like I'm very close to the Lord and I don't understand it. Well, my question would be to you is, how much time do you spend in prayer? How much time do you spend in reading God's Word? How much time do you spend in worshiping the Lord, both individually and corporately. You know, I think about John's life and what it must have been like to be with Jesus. You know, the central theme of of John is that Jesus is the Son of God, and if you commit your life to Him, He will give you eternal life. Throughout the Gospel of John, you will see that there are seven signs and miracles that Jesus talks about. And I want to just mention a few of those. We're not going to preach, I'm not going to preach through those today, but just to kind of give you an idea of some of the signs and miracles that Jesus did. One is that He turned the water into wine. And another one, there was this royal official whose son was dying, and he wanted Jesus to heal him. There was another sign that we read throughout the Scripture, throughout John. I tell you, that smoke over the last few days, I don't know if you're like me, but man, what was it, Thursday night? Man, it was so bad, and just couldn't hardly breathe, and it's still affecting me. But there was this third sign out of the seven, and there was a guy who was disabled for over 30 years. And Jesus asked him, "What do you want to get well?" And you remember what Jesus told him. He said, "Get up, take up your mat, and walk." There were many other signs and miracles that Jesus did. If you'll turn with me in your Bible, or you can use your device, to John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of His disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe. Underline or highlight the word believe, because that's a very important word in the Gospel of John. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah and He is the Son of God. And that by believing, underline by believing, and that by believing you may have life in His name. One of the key words that you will see throughout the Gospel of John is the word believe, or to believe. In fact, it's so important that John mentions it over 100 times throughout the Gospel. One of my seminary professors was at Southwestern Seminary was Dr. Fish. Dr. Fish said this about the Gospel of John. He said it is the most evangelistic book in all of the Bible. And Dr. Fish would teach from many passages of scriptures in the class that he taught. Some of those were John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. And you may just want to write these down and come back and read them at a later time. John chapter 8, John chapter 10, John 11, 14, 17, John chapter 19, 20, and 21, or just to mention a few of those. And you know, as Dr. Fish would be teaching from these passages of scriptures in John, it wasn't uncommon for a seminary student to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. In fact, one day when I was in the class on evangelism, there was a student there that raised his hand and he said, "Dr. Fish, I've got to nail this down for sure. I've got to know for sure that I am a child of God." And at that moment, this seminary student came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. You might be saying, "Well, Dale, that's pretty strange. You know, a seminary student, a guy that's going into the ministry and he wasn't a Christian before attending the school." Well, don't be surprised. You know, there are people who sit in worship services right now, just as we're speaking, just as we're worshiping the Lord throughout the country, that do not know Jesus Christ. Good people. You know, many of them teach, many of them serve, many of them give faithfully, and they're in church all the time, and they're there on Wednesday nights, and just like this seminary student, they've never totally given their lives to the Lord. You know, my father-in-law, Lynn's dad, I admire that guy so much, and I know he's in the presence of the Lord right now. But if you attended his memorial service, you remember on the screens, I had a picture of the Fellowship Hall kitchen at Pleasant Valley Baptist Church. And there my father-in-law, Dwayne Hopkins, gave his heart and his life to Jesus Christ. And he was in his 50s, and there was another deacon there. My father-in-law was faithful. He counseled people. He taught Sunday school. He was the friend of the pastor. He was the type of guy that if you were the pastor of the church, you could confide in him, and he would not share what you were talking to him about. And maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you're saying, Dale, I've never really nailed that down myself. And, you know, for my father-in-law, one of the things that he told me was that, you know, that was kind of a hard decision to make, not to invite Jesus into his life, but to think, what are the people at the church going to think if I walk down the aisle? What are they going to say? And then he went on to say, you know, it really didn't matter what people said. It really didn't matter. The only thing that mattered was me giving my heart and my life to the Lord. And maybe you're here this morning and you're afraid that what people might say if you walk the aisle and accept Jesus Christ. You know, I've been praying for you that God would help you to make that decision today and not to walk out of this auditorium without knowing for sure that you're a child of the Lord. I want to pray for you right now. I just want to take a moment just to lift you up in prayer. If that's you today, if you're sitting there and you have never accepted Christ, you know, after in a little while, I'm going to give an invitation. And I hope that you will stand up and take a stand for the Lord. Father, I thank you, God, for my father-in-law. Lord, that he accepted you as his Lord and Savior, and I know that he's in that beautiful place called heaven. And so, Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today, just like my father-in-law, maybe they've been active in the church, maybe they've served, they've given, they've done all of these great things for you, but they have never truly given their hearts to you. Father, I pray today, God, that when the invitation is given, that they will make that decision to accept you as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that the devil will not have any influence in them making that decision today, because it doesn't matter what people might say or what people might think. What matters is us having a right relationship with you. So, Father, I just lift up anyone today in this auditorium that needs to make that decision. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Now, if you'll take and turn to John chapter 1, we'll begin there. And what I would encourage you to do is, as a part of your daily Bible read, I don't know if that's me doing that or not, but as a part of your daily Bible reading, if you will read as well from John during the month, I think you'll really be blessed. But John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing has been created. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, and so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light, the true light that gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right, remember that word, the right, to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, whom were born not of natural descent or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And then verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. In these first few verses, we see that John discloses and introduces the identity of Jesus. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The rest of the book continues with that as the theme, as Jesus' identity is revealed. You'll see in the book of John, or the Gospel of John, Jesus has some unique titles. In verse 1 is one of those. Jesus is referred to as the Word. The only Son of God is another title. He is also identified as the Lamb of God in John chapter 1, verse 29. And in another identity we see of Jesus is he is the Son of God, the true bread, the life, the resurrection, the vine. And then you'll see the great I Am sayings of Jesus, where he affirms his preexistence and his eternal deity. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. And a verse that's familiar to all of you, and you know where it's at, is John chapter 14, verse 6. And we use it a lot. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we also see that Jesus identifies himself as I am the true vine. In verses 1 through 3, we see that Jesus is more than the man upstairs. He's more than a philosopher. He's more than a good man. He's more than a wise rabbi. Jesus Christ is God, and he existed from the very beginning. In verse 1, we see that Jesus is given that unique title, the Word. Words are powerful, and God reveals his power and his will through the Word, right? Through his Son, Jesus Christ. And there's no greater revelation of the character and the nature of God the Father than through his Son, Jesus Christ. The first three words that John uses in as he begins this are the same three words in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Here, John is connecting Jesus with creation, claiming that Jesus was here before creation, before there was time. If you'll mark down, or if you'll write down John chapter 17, verse 5, Jesus said, now, Father, glorify me in your presence with that glory that I had with you before the world existed. Jesus has always existed. As God, Jesus was present in creation as well as he was active in creation. Verse 3 says that he created all things. Verse to write down, a book to write down is Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Another verse to write down is Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, says, Our Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power because you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Let me just get you to pause just a little bit. Think about the impact of just those two verses alone. You are important to God. You know, you're not beyond hope. There is hope, and that hope is found in Jesus Christ. God created you. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, man, there is no purpose in my life. You know, I'm just not a good person. God knows you and He loves you and He created you and He has a purpose and a plan for your life. You know, on Wednesday nights, if you're not attending our adult Bible study, I know many of you attend the marriage class, and many of you are in the choir and orchestra and band, and many of you are teaching in our preschool children and youth areas. If you're not attending a Bible study on Wednesday nights, Roger Stewart is taking us through the next few weeks, different Psalms in the Bible. And a couple of weeks ago, he led us through Psalms 139. And before you go to bed tonight, before you get ready to go to bed, you need to read Psalms 139. And, you know, you are important. The Bible says that God knew you before the foundations of the world. Before you were ever conceived, God knew you. And you are special to Him. So I would encourage you to read Psalms 139, and then I would encourage you to come on Wednesday nights. The second question that John answers is, why did Jesus come to earth? Two key words that you will see are in verses 4 and 5, and I would underline those two key words, and it is life and light. Jesus came to give us life, to reconcile us to God, to change our present condition, who we are, and our future destination. Let me tell you, if you are a child of God, your home is not here. Your home is in heaven. That's where my father-in-law is at this very moment, he is in that beautiful place called heaven. If you'll underline the word life in verse 4, it's a Greek word meaning spiritual life. He came that we might have spiritual life. John 10:10, it says, Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Why did Jesus come to earth? He came to call you and I, to call people from death unto life, to a living and vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, if you look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, before Jesus came, it was predicted about His coming. It says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and that light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. And then John chapter 8, verse 12, is one of the I Am sayings, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus offers you and I today life and light. You know, we no longer have to walk around in darkness and in sin, and we can enjoy that life that God has for us, not only when we get to heaven, but today, as we live our lives. In John chapter 20, we read the most amazing event that has ever taken place, and that's the resurrection of Jesus. You know the story, and as we are approaching Easter Sunday, you know, when we celebrate His life, death, and burial, and the resurrection, Jesus rose from the grave, conquering both hell and death. In John chapter 5, and I know we're running close on time, but in John chapter 5, John describes this scene with these words: "That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it." You know, the word "shines" is present tense. It's not past tense, it's present tense. And what John is saying is that the light is still shining in the darkness. And then he goes on to say the darkness did not overcome it. You know, folks, no matter how dark this world gets, no matter how perverted we see this world becoming, no matter what's going on around you, Jesus Christ still shines. Amen? Okay, come on, church. Jesus Christ is still shining in this dark world that we're living in. Amen. And nothing can take away that light that Jesus is shining. Man, there is so much more. I was supposed to preach through verse 28, and that was not going to happen. I rushed it getting through the first four verses. But I want to give you some things to take home with you today, just some things for you to hold on to. Number one, because Jesus is God, he has the nature, he has the ability, and he has the right to offer you eternal life. You remember the verse that I read where I told you to remember the word "right"? Jesus has the right and the ability to give you eternal life. John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me." My father-in-law was a great man before he became a Christian. He was an honest man. He was a man of good character. But his goodness could not get him into heaven. Jesus was the only one. In John chapter 1, verse 12, he says, "And he gave the right to become children of God." Jesus Christ is giving you the right to become one of his children. Number two, life on earth is short and is filled with struggles, sufferings, and hardships, but God offers hope. And that hope is found in a personal relationship with him. It's not found in anything else. It's only found in Jesus Christ. Number three, we need to tell others about Jesus Christ. God has sent the Holy Spirit into the world to draw men and women, to draw you and I to himself, and we have a story to tell. You know, for some of us, has that story grown cold? Think about your story. When was the last time that you told your story about when you invited Jesus Christ into your life? You know, I love to tell people about my cancer journey, how God did a miracle in my life. I was going to wear my miracle shirt this morning like Masood has on, but I didn't do it. But, you know, I love to tell people that story about how Jesus, on June the 30th, my birthday, get it? We were at MD Anderson, and we just knew that they were going to have to do a surgery on me to see if there was the cancer in the lungs. And the doctors came in, and they said, "Dale, there is nothing, absolutely nothing there. Go home." And yes, praise God. I love to tell that story to people, but you know there's a greater story. There's a greater story, and it happened when I was a senior in high school, when I invited Jesus Christ into my life. That's the greatest story. That's greater than the cancer story. Even though the cancer story is a great story, that's our journey, mine and Lynn's, and our family's journey of seeing how God did a miracle in my life. The greatest story was when I invited Jesus Christ into my life. Number four, because Jesus rose from the dead, we know that he is, in fact, the Son of God. and that all he has taught is true. Jesus has taught us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, I want to share one last thing about John's life, and then we're going to close. For 3 years, John saw Jesus love and live life. He listened to him preach, and he listened to him teach. He saw all of these miracles that Jesus did throughout his ministry. And John even saw Jesus crucified on the cross. Saw when they took him down off the cross and put him in that tomb. And he saw that Jesus rose from the grave. You know, most Bible scholars will tell us that John died of an old age. He didn't die like many of the others that were martyred. He died at an old age. His life was dramatically changed. And throughout all of his life, John remained faithful to the end. Let me ask you this. Chances are you're not going to be killed or martyred for your faith. But let me ask you this about your commitment. Are you committed to Christ to live for him until he calls you home? You know, what saddens my heart is to hear men and women who have fallen away, who have walked away, just completely walked away from their faith in Jesus Christ. You know, that saddens my heart. But you know, it's been said that the greatest test of an athlete is not the start, but it's the finish. Some of us are finishing our lives. I don't know how many more days God has for me. I don't know if the cancer is going to return. You know, I don't know what God has planned for me, but my goal in life is to live for him until he calls me home. God did a miracle in Craig's life this last week, and we praise God for that. I hope that you will remain committed and faithful to the Lord until he calls you home. I'm going to ask that you bow your heads and close your eyes as Brian and his team comes up. I don't know what God has put on your heart this morning. Maybe you're here, and as I was talking about how you're not beyond hope, maybe you're here this morning and you feel that, man, there is just no hope for me. There is hope. And that hope is found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's my prayer that today that you'd give your heart and your life to him, that he would give you new purpose and in living. Or maybe you're here this morning, and when I told you about my father-in-law, maybe you can identify with him. Maybe you're here and you have served the Lord all these years. You've been faithful to the Lord and you have taught, but there's never been that time that you have accepted Jesus Christ into your life. Don't let the devil have victory today. Make that right with the Lord. You come and invite Christ into your life. Maybe you're looking for a church home today. The church at Quail Creek, I've been on staff here. Lynn and I have been here for nearly 25 years. It's a great place to worship and serve the Lord. And if you're looking for a church home, we would love to have you come and be a part. Would you please stand as I pray? Father, I thank you, Lord, that we have the Gospel of John, that we see that the two questions that are asked of each of us is, who is this Jesus and why did he come to earth? Father, I thank you that we can find those answers in the Gospel of John. And Father, I pray that today, if somebody is searching, if they're looking for Jesus, Father, I pray that today they will leave this place knowing him as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, if there's somebody here this morning that is looking for a church home, I pray that they would come and be a part of the church at Quail Creek. As we go out and we try to make a difference in this dark world that we live in. And Father, I thank you that Jesus still shines, even though it's a dark world in which we live, his light still shines. And we, as we go out and share the love of Christ, may we tell people that there is hope, and that hope is found in Jesus. So Father, I pray whatever decision needs to be made today, Father, that people will do that. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Hey, this is Pastor Kyle. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you see the love that Jesus has for you by paying the price for your sins. I pray that if you haven't already, you would take the time right now to talk to Jesus and ask him to forgive your sins and lead your life from here on out. We would love to talk to you about Jesus and getting to know him better. Contact us by emailing us at info@tcqc.org. tcqc.org, or by finding us on social media. We would love to meet you. I hope you had a wonderful day, and as always, we would love for you to join us for worship really soon.